He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. What a joy for us to be together today. I am so excited about this celebration, a beautiful day. Even if it's raining outside, it is a wonderful day of celebration and a day to recognize that Jesus, He lives. He lives for you. He lives for me. If you're a guest with us here today, again, I just hope and pray that you feel welcomed and feel a part of our Messiah family. And for all who call Messiah home and family, it is a joy to be able to celebrate this time together. I'm humbled to be able to bring a message to you on this Easter celebration, and I've chosen a passage from Scripture that continues the series that we've been in throughout Lent called So That, so you'll hear those words in there, but it really is just a beautiful summation of what John is writing in his gospel. So it's recorded for us in John chapter 20. I'll put it on the screen in front of you, and it says this. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. That is beautiful. You see, the Gospels, they tell the whole story of Jesus. And when you know how the story ends, it changes everything. Because now, as it says, we have life. Life in our Savior who is risen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that as we gather around your word and in this celebration today, that your Holy Spirit would move mightily in our hearts and allow the truth, that beautiful truth, that you are risen. Let it sink deeply into our hearts and change how we live, the hope that we have, the joy that we have, because we have life in you, Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless us and strengthen us in that life. We pray it in the powerful name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Well, I have to tell you, I am a movie buff. Love to watch movies. In fact, it is not uncommon for me to watch the same movie multiple times. That might even be an understatement, because you just ask my wife, Beth, and there's been way too often where she'll walk into the room and go, "That's on again?" Be like, "Yeah, it's on again." But it has to be a movie that I really like, because what I love is after I've seen the movie and I know the whole story, I like to go back and watch it again, because then I get to dig deeper into the characters, into the motivations, the little details that I might have missed the first or second time I've seen it. But again, it has to be a movie that's good, because if the characters or the plot fall flat, then I just feel like I've wasted 2 hours, I'll never get back again. But speaking of great movies, I want to ask, and this is kind of, you can raise your hand on this, how many of you remember, this is kind of going back a few years, a movie called The Sixth Sense? Anybody see that? Oh, good, this might actually work. Cool. All right. Back in 1999, okay, a few years ago, Bruce Willis played the part of a psychologist that was trying to help a young boy with some serious issues. They were paranormal stuff. And here's the thing. It is my opinion, as much as I like to watch movies multiple times, that this movie you only watch twice. And I've only seen it twice. The reason is this. The first time you see it, you're kind of just trying to figure out how everything fits together. It's an amazing thriller. But once you get to the end, your mind is blown, if you remember the movie. I mean, there's this fact that has been true like most all of the entire movie, and when you find out that fact at the end, oh my goodness, the rest of the movie, everything changes, and it all makes much more sense. Now, I kind of wrestle with this a little bit today because I don't want to ruin it for the one or two people who haven't seen it here. I don't want to spoil it, but, Bruce Willis is basically dead the entire movie, okay? Sorry. It's 26 years ago, people. You should have seen it. And actually, you can now, if you've not seen it, you can watch it like it's the second time. You're welcome. You're welcome. But here's the point. Once you know how the story ends, everything leading up to that end suddenly makes sense. Now, I want you to hold on to that thought, because the disciples went through something very similar on that first Easter. You see, they had grown up knowing the movie. They knew the story of God's plan of salvation. They had heard it read time after time after time in the synagogues. But now, as they are following Jesus as adults, they believe they're watching the climax of the story happen, unfold in front of them in real time, right before their faces. But here's the problem. They kept missing the most important fact. What Jesus had actually come to do to fulfill God's plan of salvation. And again, even though Jesus had told them clearly time and time again, he didn't hide anything, they just kept missing that important fact. So in turn, they had their own expectations, their own interpretation of how the story should go. So they saw Jesus as the Messiah who was going to come and start this movement, a movement of victory and power and triumph. And as they watched him, Jesus, he was doing all these things. I mean, he healed the sick. He'd raised the dead. He had drew large crowds. He had taught with authority. He had put the religious leaders in their places. This was the moment that they were waiting for. But then everything changed. On Good Friday, Jesus was arrested. He was humiliated. He was beaten. He was crucified. He died. This was not how the story was supposed to end. And in fact, if their lives had been a movie, this would have been the point where the screen fades to black and the credits start to roll and there is no post-credit scene to help them know that there's a sequel on its way. There was no hint of redemption. It was just, in their eyes, the end. And so they're devastated. Their hope is gone. Their dreams are shattered. The Savior that they had been following is now hanging lifeless on a cross. You see, I bet the disciples, the day after, on Saturday, I bet they gathered together and they had some deep and difficult questions about life and about hope. You see, again, they thought Jesus' story was done. They saw him die. And I bet one of the biggest questions on their hearts that day would revolve something around this: what about me? What about my life? How is my story now going to end? Because they felt alone and they were terrified. Now, take a step away from the story for a minute, and I think, friends, that we can relate to this on some level or another. You see, I believe that sometimes we find ourselves in that same headspace, especially as our stories, they aren't going like we expected. You know those times when we encounter struggles and pain and sorrow and we start to feel alone and afraid. And I think in those moments, much like the disciples probably did on that Saturday, we have some very tough, some very difficult questions that we ask. And maybe they start the same way. How will my story end? But we ask things like, will my marriage survive? Will my kids be okay? Will I ever get out of this financial mess I'm in? Will I ever find peace? Will I ever stop hurting? Will I ever find love and meaning and direction and hope in my story? Now, I don't think we always say it out loud, but sometimes I believe, if we're honest, we feel like we're walking through our story as if it's over. Wondering where Jesus is at. Feeling like the disciples did on that Saturday, like the curtain has already dropped and all we're left with is the sorrow of Good Friday. But friends, stick with me. Because his story, the end, is magnificent. And it's really no end at all. And one of the things we remind you of often at Messiah is not only does his story not end, but his story is our story. So let's get back into the Easter story. Let's go back to that first Easter morning. We find Mary Magdalene, and we find some of the women with her. They're heading to the tomb. But guess what? They are not going there to witness a miracle. They are not going there to see a risen king. They're going there to grieve. They're going there to finish the burial process. Much like, again, the disciples, their hearts were shattered. Jesus was gone. They were walking to a cemetery. That's where all stories end, right? And in their minds, that was it. Jesus had let them down. But I think the real problem here is with the disciples, they had missed the most important fact. And it had caused them to reduce Jesus from the Messiah, the promised Messiah, to a mere man, a fragile, finite, broken human who was now sealed in a tomb. But what Mary didn't know was that her world was getting ready to be rocked, and that her story was about to be changed forever. She was about to hear her name spoken by the risen Jesus. She was about to go from despair to joy, from confusion to clarity, and from heartbreak to hope. But on the way to the tomb, at least at that point, she didn't know the whole story yet. Let's go to another part of Easter story. It's on this road to Emmaus. Two disciples, one of them we know his name is Cleopas. It's recorded for us in Luke chapter 24. They are drudging, their heads hung low. They're headed from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Their hearts are heavy. Their hope has been shattered. They're talking through the tragedy that they had just witnessed. And then this stranger joins them and asks why. Why are you so down? Why are you so hopeless? And they can't figure out why this guy doesn't know about what happened to Jesus, that he's dead. Well, they too had missed the most important fact of the story. And it had caused them also to reduce Jesus from this promised Messiah to a mere man who was now sealed in a tomb. But what they didn't know was that this stranger that was walking with them was Jesus himself. And so Jesus retells the story. It's kind of like watching the movie again. He starts with Genesis. He goes through the prophets. But here's the thing. They thought they already knew it. I'm sure their eyes rolled and they're like, we know that story. They had grown up with it. But something changed. Now they're hearing it through the lens of Jesus' death and resurrection, and something started to stick. In fact, Scripture says their hearts were burning within them. And then you get this glorious moment. They get to Emmaus, and it's over dinner, and Jesus breaks bread, and their eyes are opened. And they see who had been with them the entire time. This is Jesus who has been resurrected. He is alive. And from that moment on, their lives and their continued stories would never be the same. And much like Mary, they were so overwhelmed with joy that they got up that moment, ran all the way back to Jerusalem to tell everyone the good news. You see, over and over again, we see the same patterns. Starting back on that first Easter some 2,000 years ago, and even today, we see hopelessness turn to joy when people know the whole story. When they finally see Jesus for who he really is. Not the small, weak, broken human. Not a failed leader, not a character whose story ends in a tomb, but indeed the promised Messiah, the risen Son of God, powerful, victorious, true, and living Savior. I mean, it happened to all of them. It happened to Cleopas and his companion. It happened to Mary. It happened to all the disciples. That hopelessness turned to joy. And now, my friends, it is the same for us. It has offered to us the joy of our risen Savior, our victorious Messiah. But it's important to remember something as we think about story. For the disciples,
Life did not become perfect after the resurrection. They still faced trials. They still faced pain and persecution and even death. But you know what? From that moment on, their hope was unshakable. Because now they knew the author of their story. And it changed how they lived every single day, no matter what they faced. They were now filled with a hope and a joy because they were not alone. Jesus was not dead. The credits did not start to scroll. But actually, real life began. So let me ask you, how about your story? This Easter morning, right now, which Jesus are you looking to? Especially when life gets difficult. Especially when life becomes overwhelming. Are you looking to the Jesus whom the disciples thought he was on Saturday? The frail, the delicate, the dead Jesus, the one still in a tomb somewhere? Or are you looking to the Sunday Jesus? The risen Lord, the one who conquered death, the one who was walking with you in every moment of your story. Because we all have those moments, don't we? When we feel like our story has gone off script, times when we get scared, times when we feel alone, times when we cannot see how anything good could come out of the pain that we're facing. But just like all the disciples, you're not alone. And your story is not over, and because of Jesus, it never will be. Easter reminds us that Jesus is not stuck in a tomb, but he is alive and he is reigning. That is the Jesus that is in your story. This is the Jesus in your story. He is Jesus who is Almighty God. Jesus who is bigger than any of the problems that you face. Jesus who died your death so that he could crush the head of Satan. Jesus who burst out of the tomb victorious and gives you eternal life. Jesus who lives and loves you unconditionally. And because this is the Jesus in your story, it is forever changed. Your story is now filled with hope, and it's not the wishful thinking kind of hope. No, it is the real, it is the solid, it is the resurrection hope. So let me end here. How will this part of your story end? Well, I believe it'll end just as it is now, wrapped up tightly in the nail-scarred hands of your Savior. And because of that, it means it never really ends at all. And why is that? Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia and amen. My friends, I pray God's continued blessings on you in this Easter celebration and that we continue to live in that life that Jesus has given us and the joy of knowing his presence as we go from here, but not just today, each and every day.